This time I'd like you to turn to the Word of God. We are looking at the book of Revelation, chapter 4. And we are going to read chapter 4 and chapter 5 in order that we have proper context for the message. So turn to Revelation chapter 4. Let's read the Word of God. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper, and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf. And the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with 7 seals, and I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book, and to loose the 7 seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the 4 beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the 4 beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth, and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. And that ends our reading. The title of the message I have for you today is called Heavenly Worship. Heavenly Worship. Let's just bow our heads with the Word of God before us and pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, our minds cannot comprehend the words that we have just read. But Lord, what we have before us, O Lord, is a picture of heaven. And Heavenly Father, we know that it is our Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone that is worthy to be praised. And so, Father, we thank Thee, O Lord, for sending Your Son into this world that we may have life. Lord, we pray that Thy Word would have power as it goes forth this morning. We pray, O Lord, that You would prepare hearts. Heavenly Father, we pray that Thou would have mercy upon those that have yet to believe. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Even today, many people still believe in the reality of heaven. There are some who believe that all roads lead to heaven. For others, it is doing the best you can and hoping for the best. Hope you will get there. There are many reasons why people want to go to heaven. They are listed in Scripture. There are the streets of gold, the gates of pearl. There's the eternal rest that is promised to us. No more sickness, no more suffering. Or maybe the reason that we want to go to heaven is to see loved ones that have gone on before. But what is often missing is any mention of God. We are told in John chapter 17, verse 24, these are the words of Jesus. Father, I will that they also, whom Thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. That is the wish of our Lord Jesus Christ, is that His people are with Him. I know we live in this world, and this is where we are put at this time, but there is a day coming, and this life is but a vapor. And for all eternity, more than the mind can comprehend, we will be with Jesus. And that is the wish of our Lord Jesus Christ. That should be the purpose of heaven, is to be with God and worship Him forever. There are books found in Christian bookstores of people who claim to have died and gone to heaven. Apparently, after their hearts were revived, they returned to earth to bring back messages from heaven. This isn't just one instance. There's many books published of people that have claimed to see God. And the problem is a lot of it doesn't even match up with the Bible. John chapter 3, verse 13, the words of Jesus says, No man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. So Jesus proclaimed, no one has ever went to heaven and come back. Also in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul received a vision of heaven, and he heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. So there is no word from heaven coming back to us. The church needs to have more discernment. Our foundation must always be on the Word of God. Heaven and the glory that awaits us is beyond our comprehension. We have finite minds. We cannot comprehend heaven. But what we have read in these two chapters, God has given us a glimpse into the worship of God in heaven. The book of Revelation is sometimes a hard book to understand, but I truly believe that even a child can understand the Word of God if the Spirit of God is at work. And the Spirit of God has placed these words before us today, and we will look at heavenly worship. The first thing I would like to look at today is the place of worship, and that is heaven. Let's look at the place of worship. That is found in the first seven verses of chapter 4 that we have read. Revelation 4, chapter 1 to 7, describes the place of worship. This gives us a picture of heaven and the place where we will worship. We notice right away in verse 1, it says, a door was opened in heaven. That is the Lord revealing truths unto us. Now, this is John receiving a vision of heaven. It must be clear that John did not enter heaven physically. We need to understand that very important point. But he had a vision by the Holy Spirit. And you see that in verse number 2. He says, I was in the Spirit. Now, the things that he saw reveal the nature of God. And we can learn of the nature of God as we look at what he saw in heaven. The first thing, verse 2, John is taken directly to the throne of God. The throne reminds us of the authority of God. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is not this. The throne is not only the center of heaven, but it is the reason for heaven. He sits upon the throne. Our Lord is the reason for heaven. There is no other reason but to worship him forever. So that is why the first thing that John sees is the throne. You'll notice in verse 3, the Lord is as precious stones. There are a few mentioned there. There's jasper, sardine. We see emerald stones. And in verse 6, we see around the throne a sea of glass like unto crystal. These are all precious stones that we can relate to. Precious stones remind us of the preciousness and value and beauty of Christ. So as we read these scriptures, we get a part of the nature of God. He is precious unto us. In verse 3, we also see there's a rainbow around the throne. This reminds us of God's covenant promise. In Genesis, when he put the rainbow in the sky and he promised there would be no more flood, this is a covenant promise. So when we look at the rainbow around the throne, we see God's promises that he is a covenant-keeping God, and we are reminded of this as his nature. It also reminds us of the grace towards sinners. What a God we serve. In verse 4, we see mention of elders around the throne. They are clothed in white raiment with crowns of gold. This reminds us that we will be welcome to be kings and priests with Christ, ruling with him forever. That God has chosen this in the vision, to have these around the throne. Verse 5, we see lightnings and thunderings, reminds us of the power and majesty of God. He will come and judge the world by his righteous law, another attribute of our Lord. We then see burning lamps before the throne. This reminds us that his light shines upon us by his Holy Spirit, the light of God. This is the imagery that John is seeing in heaven. We then come to four living creatures. These are angelic beings that were created by God. In Ezekiel chapter 10, verse 15, these creatures are identified as cherubims. Now, if you know your scripture, cherubims were sent by God to guard the Garden of Eden after Adam and Eve were banished. So what they are is a guardian of holiness. So here they also represent the guardian of holiness around the throne of God. So in all these pictures that we see of heaven, they all point to the nature of God. In Scripture, we find also that Isaiah and Ezekiel also had visions of heaven. For example, even though Ezekiel's vision of heaven was over 600 years before John's, I want you to notice consistencies in Scripture from Ezekiel's vision and John's vision over 600 years earlier. For example, Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 26, he reveals that he saw the throne of God. He saw it as precious stones. Ezekiel 1:27, he saw fire around the throne. Ezekiel 1:28, he saw a rainbow around the throne. Ezekiel 1:13, he saw living creatures, burning lamps and lightning, all completely the same as John's vision. So we have the reliability of Scripture. The next part that I would like to look at in heavenly worship is the pattern of worship. How are we supposed to worship? And how will we worship God in heaven? This is found in the remaining verses in chapter 4, verses 8 to 11. What we see here is the Lord is calling all of creation to worship God in holiness. All angels and all men are before the throne. Now, this pattern of worship is also a model for our worship today. We are not to worship God in any manner that we see fit, but we have in Scripture before us the worship of God in heaven. Let's take a look at what John saw as worship. The first thing I want you to notice is that there is continuous praising of God in heaven. We see that in verse number 8. It says, they rest not day and night. Those in heaven will be worshiping God forever, resting not day and night. That is what we will do in heaven, worship God continually. Revelation 7 verse 15 says, we will serve him day and night in his temple. Day and night, night and day. We are told in this world to pray without ceasing. We have already the instruction in Scripture that we are to continually have our minds upon the Lord here. And that is what we will do in heaven. Continuous praising of God in heaven. The second thing that we notice from the Scripture is that there will be praise and adoration given to our Lord. We find that in verse number 8. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. These are words of praise and adoration. Holy, 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 we will declare his holiness in heaven. Lord God Almighty, we will declare his sovereignty in heaven, which was and is to come. we will declare the eternal, unchanging God forever. Notice in verse 9, it says, they gave glory, honor, and thanks to him. We will forever give thanks for our salvation. What the Lord has given unto us, we will have thanksgiving. So that is another key to the pattern of worship, praise and adoration. And the third part that we notice in the pattern of worship is humility. I want you to notice the humility that will be found in heaven, that we are to worship God humbly with humility. We find that in verse number 10. It says, they fall down before him that sat on the throne. The worship of God will cause us in heaven to fall down before him. In Ezekiel's vision, when he saw the glory of the Lord, it says, I fell upon my face. This is scripture showing the humility we will have when we worship God in heaven. All through scripture, we are told that we are promised a crown of righteousness when we get to heaven. The Lord will give us the rewards for the service we have given unto him. And even though we are promised a crown of righteousness, notice verse 10, they cast their crowns before the throne. When we see our Lord, we will give up all the rewards we have and place them at his feet. That is what we find in verse 10. Forever and ever they worship him and cast their crowns before them. Verse 11, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. This is cause for praise and adoration. This is cause for humility, and this is cause to pray him continually. This will be the picture of worship in heaven. We then come to the person of worship. What is heaven all about? Why are we there? And we find that in Revelation chapter 5, the first 7 verses that we have read today. Verse 5 begins, and I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with 7 seals. What is going on here? The book sealed with 7 seals. The book is a sign of God's decree, what he has declared in his word. In the book, there is mercy for following God's law. There is judgment for breaking God's law. This is a decree, the commandments of God that were set out early in Scripture. So this is the book. If you remember, in the Garden of Eden, men fell into sin and the inheritance was lost. So what we have is a dilemma here. We have a situation where the law of God was broken. The sealed scroll, this is evidence of a lost inheritance. And the terms by which it can be redeemed. So in this book, God has set in place that this is a lost inheritance. Mankind is lost. And there is the terms by which it can be redeemed. And we know that it must be someone without sin. And it cannot be anyone but God. Now, this picture of the sealed scrolls and redemption is vividly portrayed in the book of Ruth. And if you remember a few months ago when we went through the book of Ruth, Ruth lost her inheritance. And it was Boaz who came to redeem her. So we have a vivid picture that there is someone that can come and redeem. So verse 2 asks the question, who is worthy to redeem a lost inheritance? Who is worthy? Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals? The question is asked. And that is the question that John saw in heaven. In verse 3, we have a situation that looks bleak. It says, "And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon." No man is worthy to enter heaven. If you are here today and plan to go to heaven on your own terms, the Bible is making it clear on this verse that no man is worthy to enter heaven, God's decree states. No man is worthy. The question I have for you today is, who are you depending on to enter heaven? It says no man is there to help you. Mohammed cannot save you. The Pope cannot save you. Mary cannot save you. Religion cannot save you. Your church cannot save you. This church cannot save you. Your pastor cannot save you. I cannot save you. And you cannot save yourself. This is what is coming out in verse number 3. I'd like you to turn to Galatians chapter 5. We will be reading three verses from verse 19 to 21. Galatians chapter 5. It says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." The question I have, are you guilty of any of these things in thought or in deed? So that is what we have in our text today. No man is worthy. So if you have been guilty of any of these, you will not enter heaven. This is a picture of heaven. This is sinful man in the presence of a holy God. You are utterly hopeless of ever entering heaven on your own terms. Utterly hopeless. So when John sees this in verse 3, that no man is worthy, what is the reaction? It says in verse 4, "And I wept much." I wept much. Because it is a sad day when you are not in heaven, and when there's no possibility of man entering heaven. I wept much. The realization that without a redeemer, no man will ever enter heaven. And that is what is happening here. I wept much. That will be the state of many on that day of judgment when they stand empty-handed before Christ. There will be those on that day that will say, "I went to church. I have religion." They will even give assent to the Word of God. There are those that fully expect to be in heaven that will not be there because they have no Redeemer. The Lord makes it plain there will be those who even call him Lord. And they will say, Lord, Lord, have I not done these things? And he will say, depart from me, I never knew you. This is the reflection of the holiness of God and heaven. But everything changes in verse 5. It says, one of the elders saith unto me, speaking to John, weep not. Verse 4, there was nothing but weeping, nothing but hopelessness. Now it says, weep not. These are words of victory. Weep not. There is hope in heaven, in the gospel of Jesus Christ. It goes on in verse 5, it says, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. Weep not, there is one who has prevailed. It's the Lion of Judah, the Root of David. Those are prophecies that were fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Jesus is known as the Lion of Judah. The Lion of Judah shows Christ is the mighty conqueror. Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And he also said, I have the keys of hell and of death. Our Lord has defeated death, hell, and proclaimed victory. So he has prevailed. And I want you to notice the victory found in this passage, what John sees. Look at verse 7. This is talking of Christ in victory. It says, and he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. The picture here is that Jesus went to the Father, took that book with the seal, all those things that were against us. He took it in victory. We can rejoice in the work of Christ. This is why Peter speaks of the lively hope that we have in Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, it says that we will have to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. That's the promise we have because of Christ. We have that inheritance, that home in heaven, without any sin, incorruptible, undefiled, no sin there. And it will not fade away. We will have it for all eternity. And I like those words, reserved in heaven for you. The work of Christ is done. It's reserved. It's waiting for all those who put their trust in him. Going back to our text, there's something here that happens that is very interesting. In verse 5, you will see that John was told to look for the Lion of Judah. It says, behold the Lion. But if you notice, something happens in verse 6. It says, and I beheld a lamb as it had been slain. They told him to look for the Lion, and what he saw was a lamb that had been slain. They saw the crucified Christ. Isaiah 53, verse 7 says, he is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. What Christ endured on the cross reminds us of the cost of our salvation. John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. So we see the Lamb that was slain. And when we see Christ, we will also see Him as the Lamb that was slain. We will see those nail prints in His hand where His blood was sacrificed for us. For all eternity, we will be reminded of 1 Corinthians 6:20, which says, "For ye are bought with a price." The price was the work of Christ on the cross. And we will see those nail prints in His hands forever. And the final part I would like to look at today, revealed in our text with heavenly worship, is the purpose of worship. And that is found in the remainder of the chapter. The purpose of worship. The chief end of man is to glorify God and love Him forever. In heaven, we will also fulfill the commandment of Jesus, that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. That is impossible in this day with our sin that we have. We cannot love God fully, but in heaven we will. We will love Him and we will have the ability because we will have a glorified body and we will love Him with all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind. And that is the purpose of heaven. The purpose is to glorify the Lord for what He did. And that is why we are there. And that is why He calls us to be with Him, to worship with Him forever. Now we notice in our text the remaining verses in the chapter that all of heaven now begins to worship Christ as the Redeemer. In chapter 4, they were worshiping Him because He was the Creator of all things. We are now see that they are worshiping the Redeemer, the one who took our place, the one who gave hope that man can enter into heaven. And what we see in verse 9, it says, "And they sung a new song." They sung a new song. There is something new that has happened. Christ is the Redeemer. And all through Scripture, the rest of the chapter is praise and adoration to our Lord. I wonder, has the Lord given you a new song today in your heart? Has He given you a new nature? It says in Christ we are new creatures. All things have passed away. All things become new. Has He given you a new song? Can you worship Him? We are now going to look at worshiping Christ and how they worship Him with all their heart, mind, and soul. Revelation 5, verse 8, they fell down before the Lamb. Verse 9, they say, "Thou art worthy." In verse 12, they say, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." In verse 14, they fell down and worshipped Him that liveth forever and ever. Revelation 7, verse 11 says, they fell before the throne on their faces and worshipped God. Verse 12, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. This is how we will worship God in heaven. Revelation 15:3, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. The worship will continue forever and ever. This is our purpose in heaven, to worship God forever. If you have this blessed hope here today, There's a special verse in Scripture for you. It's Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 and 10. Because if you're a believer, you are included in this verse that I'm about to read. It says, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues. They stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hand, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb." That is you and me. We are in that number. And that is what we will do for all eternity. Give glory and praise for the work of the Lord. This is a true picture of the reality of heavenly worship. The question is, do you long to see Jesus and worship Him forever? Is that a reflection of your life here today? Because if you long to see Jesus and worship Him forever, this is evidence of saving grace. Because in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, it says that heaven is promised to those that love His appearing. Do you love the thought of Christ coming back and taking you to heaven? Do you long for the day when your days are over in this life and you will see Him face to face? Is that what is on your heart? Is that your longing? Or do the things of this world crowd out any affection that you have for God? It is so easy to crowd out things. The question is, who rules your heart? Are you living for this world with no thought of Christ? Perhaps what I have told you today about heaven makes you completely unaffected. You are living for this world. You are living without Christ. Many years ago, I heard an illustration, and I have never forgotten it. So bear with me as I tell you the story. Two buses were parked on a busy city street. One bus was headed for a rock music convention. The other bus was headed to special gospel service. Somehow there was a mix-up in the destinations. When the Christians got off the bus, they entered the rock music convention. They encountered drinking, gambling, swearing, and blaring rock music. They began to say, "I feel like I am in hell. Get me out of here. I don't belong here." The people who were headed for the rock music convention, they found themselves at the gospel meeting. They encountered people worshiping and praising God. And they began to say, "I feel like I am in hell. Get me out of here. I don't belong here." So what is the point? The point is that man outside of Christ have no desire to go to heaven. And they never will. Because if men hate the worship of God on this earth, how much more would they hate to worship Him for all eternity? So this idea that somehow people have a change of heart when they enter eternity is rubbish. If you have an unregenerated heart in eternity, your hatred for God will continue. Your hate for the things of the Lord will continue, and you will have no desire to ever enter heaven. I would fail to do justice to the Word of God here today if I preached this entire sermon on heaven without warning you of hell. It is not a popular topic in the day in which we live in, especially over the pulpit. Hell is a place prepared by God to satisfy His perfect holiness and justice for those who rebel and refuse to repent and receive His mercy. That's it in a nutshell. That's why there's a hell. Either you are saved by the blood of the Lamb and enter heaven, or you will face the wrath of God in hell forever. Jesus described hell as a lake of fire that will never be quenched. There will be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. The weeping and wailing is a result of the eternal torment. The gnashing of teeth is everlasting hatred for God that will last forever. In hell, you will have no rest. When it is day, you will wish it were night. When it is night, you will wish it were day. It is a place described in Scripture as outer darkness. You will be deprived of any company. The idea that, oh, my friends will all be there and I'll have a good time. You will be in outer darkness, deprived of any company, and you will be alone forever. You will face the wrath of God alone forever. Revelation chapter 6, verse 17 says, "For the great day of His wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" If you're outside of Christ, that is a frightening thing. For there is a day coming, a day of wrath. Who shall be able to stand? And the answer is found in Revelation chapter 7, verse 14. Those that have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb, those are the ones that will escape God's wrath. In John chapter 3, verse 36, it says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." The path to heaven is clear. Repent and believe. There are no good people in heaven, only sinners saved by grace. The path to hell is also clear. How bad you have to be to go to hell? All you have to do is do nothing. Continue in your path of sin and reject the gospel. Do nothing. That's all you have to do for hell. But the good news is, even now, today, you can still cry out, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And He has promised to save you. He will put a new song in your heart, and you will experience the joy and peace of sins forgiven. And that is the blessed hope we have in Christ. I will leave you with one verse found in Revelation chapter 17, verse 14, our blessed hope. It says, "For He is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with Him are called and chosen and faithful." And I trust that that will be you today. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we humbly come before Thee today, thanking You, O Lord, for the great offer of salvation given unto us repent and believe. We thank Thee, O Lord, that we have looked at the blessed hope that is found in Christ. We thank Thee, O Lord, that we will worship Him forever. We thank Thee, O Lord, that You can put a new song in our hearts. Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, that Thy Spirit would be at work in the hearts of people that are outside of Christ. We pray, Heavenly Father, that Thou would show mercy. And Lord, we pray that what we have heard today will burn in our hearts, that You are worthy to receive all glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.